He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Already into the third and final hour, 8 minutes into the third and final hour of the Alex Jones Show. It's Real Talk Radio, where we talk about issues that actually affect you and your family. I do this show Monday through Friday from 11 to 2 Central, and then back from 9 to midnight Central. The websites are Infowars.com, Infowars.net, and PrisonPlanet.com. Now, about a year ago, there was a USA Today article about how half of Walmart products by this year, it's what they had said, were going to have these tiny RFID trackers chips in them, developed by the Office of Naval Intelligence. Hitachi manufactures them along with many others. They're now going to be all the Gillette products, Target, everybody's going to carry them, Procter & Gamble. The list goes on. And they want to track and trace you as you drive around town. Now, the article said that, and now in San Francisco last Monday, the San Mateo Times reported that now the whole city is going to be a tollway. They've got radio readers on the roads, your individual transponder in your car by law. They're going to tax and trace you with it. So this is the plan with these systems. About 2 weeks ago, I was on a radio show that I've been on several times in the hometown of Walmart up in Arkansas, and on Frank Whalen's show, and one of his listeners inside Walmart had faxed him, 20-something pages of internal, not for distribution. It said the operative word was confidential information about their RFID system. They've got like a bunker built for national tracking. All the Walmart stores are run by it. And it mentions the toll road capacity for it in one of the pages, and how Walmart, who has 33% of all retail sales, if they say that they want it in all the products, then all the manufacturers have to put it in standard, okay, if they're going to sell through Walmart. That causes the whole industry to do this, and there was actually an article in CNET News last week. I kept pointing this out. It would cause the whole industry to do this. CNET News said, yeah, Walmart gets behind RFID. And says by Walmart doing this with 33% now of total retail sales of all products, this will cause everybody to have to do this. And then I was also told by his sources inside Walmart that they are hooked into Homeland Security, that FBI is inside the infrastructure system. Well, this has already been announced. I have read on tape on C-SPAN last year, early 2000, at a Homeland Security meeting before it was even funded, saying infrastructure protection means troops in all the bridges, the roads, the major factories, power plants, major distribution centers. This is it. And Catherine Albrecht, if I'm pronouncing that right, we've had her on before. Albrecht has been on the show. Catherine Albrecht is the founder and director of Caspian, Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion. And she got into this years ago over the fact that Kroger's and many other big chains, Safeway, sell the information, upload the data to the federal government of what you buy. They sell it to junk mailers. They use it in a whole host of issues that violate your privacy. And they actually end up, it shows with the cards, find out what people got to have, what they're willing to pay more for. It actually jacks up prices contrary to what you believe the discount cards do. So done a lot of great work, and their websites are stoprfid.org and nocards.org. We have links to those on Infowars.com. And Catherine, it's good to have you on the show.
Hey, Alex, you've been doing great work.
And am I pronouncing your name right?
It's Albrecht. It's A-L-B-R-E-C-H-T with a silent H, Albrecht.
Albrecht. I'm public school educated. I have trouble. Nice name. I've had you on before. And I'm sitting here in my office with a stack of about, in the last 2 weeks, 800 articles. I've been digging through them. I have the faxes right here. I'll give you the number to Frank Whalen. I keep saying I'll put them on the net, and I'll get to that. It'll just take hours to do it. We've been overwhelmed. But basically what's in these documents has already been said publicly, but I'm sure Frank will fax them to him, to you, or we will. But you have some of your own information on the RFID in Walmart.
Well, I just got back from spending 3 days in Chicago last week at probably the world's first annual RFID adoption conference. And this coincided, it was in Chicago, coincided with the annual retailer conference there.
Well, tell us what RFID is for those that don't know.
Well, RFID stands for radio frequency identification. They are tiny computer chips the size of a speck of dust or a piece of sand surrounded by an antenna, usually about postage stamp size. Sometimes they can be as big as an index card or even a sheet of paper when you put the antenna on them. The microchip itself that is hooked up to the antenna contains a unique identifying number. So by unique identifying number, we're talking about a computer chip that's so tiny that it can't hold a whole lot of data, but what it can hold is a 64 or 96-bit number.
Now, I read an article about Hitachi. They've got a chip half the size of a grain of sand with a microscopic, it's tiny hair-size antenna that is made to be woven into fabric so you do not see the antenna.
Right. So these come in a whole range of sizes. There are some that actually integrate the antenna with the microchip. What the antenna size affects is actually the distance of transmission. And let me just run your listeners through, if they're not familiar with this technology. Let me kind of explain what it is, and then we can get into some of the details of how the technology affects it. What the creators of this technology, this actually got its jump start in 1999 when the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and Procter & Gamble got together and formed something called the Auto ID Center. You can find them online at autoidcenter.org. Auto standing for automatic, not automobile. The Auto ID Center now has over 90 worldwide sponsors, some of the largest consumer product manufacturing companies in the world, the Department of Defense, the U.S. Postal Service, UPS, Walmart, Target, Home Depot, Procter & Gamble, Philip Morris, Johnson & Johnson.
Crap.
Big companies. Yeah, exactly. So most of the stuff that we buy as consumers are somehow kind of floating around being involved in this, whether they've donated money directly or not, or are sponsors or not. Now, what happened in 1999, they decided to take this technology, which had been around for a while and for military and other applications, and go commercial with it. And the ultimate goal of these chips is that they ultimately are supposed to replace the barcode. Now, unlike a barcode, let's talk about a barcode for a minute. The barcode was introduced in 1973. It did not gain wide adoption until Walmart, once again, actually pushed in the 1980s for its suppliers to adopt it, and Walmart was the 800-pound gorilla even back 20 years ago.
Now, again, to explain this, by saying that anybody who sells to us has to have this, that changes a system-wide shift over to the tracking chip.
You've got it, because what you do is you say to, you know, somebody selling one brand of crackers, you know, hey, you either get this barcode on your box or we're going to switch to your competitor who will get the barcode on their box. And so the retailers now can drive what the manufacturers are doing, and that's what Walmart's up to today. So the background on the barcode is that Walmart played a very key instrumental role in getting barcodes on all products around the 1980s. It's now that we've had the barcode around for about 30 years, they're now ready to move us to the next step of this. And the next step is this tiny chip. Now, let me explain how the chip is different from a barcode. Unlike a barcode, where your can of Coke and my can of Coke contain the exact same serial number, it's called a UPC or Universal Product Code number. Right now, our cans of Coke have the same number on them. With this new RFID chip, it will contain a number called an EPC, standing for Electronic Product Code. And what the EPC does, the plan of this, is to put a unique identifying number on every item on the planet.
And let me break this down. This is the Surveillance Total Information Awareness Network system. We already know grocery stores. This is admitted in my new film, Police State 3 Total Enslavement. We have a local newscast where they say it's hooked into the DNA, to the driver's license database, to your digital thumbprint. It's for security. You thumb scan when you go to the grocery store. Then then years ago they made you thumb scan to get a driver's license or an ID, which you have to have a job or a bank account or to live. Now it's a cashless society connection for the global taxation. The UN is pushing for the standardization. Now with the face scan, even if you don't thumb scan, your digital photo is in a database. The camera at Walmart will face scan you, and then they will have a record of what you bought scanned onto the chip, connected to your purchase number, and now they can track and trace you. And with the antennas of cell towers and radio readers, they can then track and trace your movements and what you do.
Well, and if you throw RFID into the mix, and I think a lot of this, you know, the infrastructure clearly is in the planning stage for a lot of this. I think much of this does not yet exist. But
there's already RFIDs in almost everything. They're just the larger, old-fashioned ones.
Go back up. Explain that to me.
Well, there's already RFID. There's an RFID in the money since 96. Do you have a $5 bill or higher in your wallet right now?
Yeah, I do.
They hold your money up to the light.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do this.
There's a strip in there. There's an anti-counterfeiting strip.
Yeah, that's an RFID. That's an RFID. That's the Federal Reserve's own admission. That is a readable strip from a distance. Do you know that?
No, I did not know that. In fact, I have numerous denials on record that's the case. So I would be very interested in getting documentation.
Well, I'm sure you heard the EU has said they're going to put RFID in all their new money. Did you see that article?
Yes, that will be they're aiming for 2005, but they haven't totally admitted it, but Hitachi has admitted they're working with them on that.
Well, maybe you didn't see the article I saw. They said they're going to do it. But yes, this is a primitive RFID that's in the money. And the Federal Reserve said in 99... already 4 years ago, that if you do not keep your money in the bank, they're going to devalue it through the tracker strip in the money. That way they can, it turns your money into a cashless society receipt. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that I actually have heard proposals to do that, to actually check, scan money as it comes out of the ATM machine.
Here you are and a record of it, but the Federal Reserve says they'll also devalue it.
I have heard that, but I didn't know that it actually gone into effect. So we'll have to see how all that
takes
down.
Well, no, it was a policy announcement of the Federal Reserve Board of Virginia in 99. And that's what the new colored money is about. It has even more of these identifiers in it. Stay there. We'll talk about it on the other side and get into this. But, yes, that is a readable strip in the money. Has nothing to do with counterfeiting. That's just what they say it's for. It's like they say the Amber Alert is why the feds can take over every radio and TV station. Well, I work in radio. They put the EAS system in 97, and it is a takeover FEMA system. So whatever they say it's for, there's always the real reason.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are listener-supported with the honor system. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10, and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Supermarket privacy invasion and numbering. Catherine, did you try to explain this? You know, they call them RFID chips. They're really, in the more advanced models, transponders.
Not quite. Let me see if I can clarify the technology. First, I was going to state two ways that they're different from the barcode. The first way is in that they contain individual numbers, meaning that your can of Coke could conceivably be registered to you as a different number registered to you than my can of Coke. So if it's almost like a serial number, which could conceivably be used at the point of sale as a registration number, meaning that every time you go and stand in a line at a Walmart or a Target or a Home Depot or one of the stores that's using this technology, and you scan a credit card, which, by the way, I recommend everyone pay cash, but let's say you do scan a credit card, all of those item numbers associated with each of the things that you're purchasing could be linked up in a database to your credit card.
But then they're going to say that you've got to register it to yourself or you can't return it.
Okay, well, there's two pieces to that. First of all, yes, they are talking about needing these chips to be left on instead of disabled at checkout so that you could make returns. That's actually in the documentation of these companies themselves, which is a bit ironic because when you ask them about privacy, their first line will be to say, well, we're going to shut them off at checkout. Well, of course, that's a little bit nuts if you're going to be using them for return. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouths there.
Yeah,
the
but a transponder piece, though, receives and transmits, and if you scan this and it gives you back the information, you know, these transponders they put in cars that are this, you know, the size of maybe half an inch long, quarter inch wide, the San Mateo Times last Monday in San Francisco, the Bay Area. They said you got to have these now to drive in the city, and we're going to put up radio readers and scan you as you drive around. They proposed satellite tracking and taxation for our cars. They're already putting the infrastructure in. So I'm talking about what they stated they're going to do with these systems.
Right. Well, as I said, these are different from the barcode. In number one, they have unique numbers. And number two, they are readable from a distance. I think the only place where we're differing, Alex, is just in terms of the terminology that we're using. It wouldn't be quite technically correct to say that these devices transmit information. It would be more correct to say that they pick up ambient radio frequency waves and they reflect them back. They don't have their own power source. There's actually two types of chip. There's one that's called a passive chip, which picks up radio frequency energy from a reader device and basically reflects back its own number. There's an active chip, which contains a battery. And that battery, in some cases of some experimental versions of these chips, 2.5 millimeters in size, that's antenna, battery, and device, I believe, being experimented on by the Department of Defense. In those cases, they work with a battery crystal.
By the way, it was the Office of Naval Intelligence, correct, that developed the RFID?
Back during World War II, this was being used for something called the Friend or Foe program to actually identify aircraft and see if it was enemy aircraft or local aircraft. As far as its commercial application, though, it was really driven by the Auto ID Center at MIT and Procter & Gamble from about 1999.
All right. How do we stop them from implementing this?
Well, there's a couple of pieces. At this conference that I attended last week, one of the things being discussed was they were asking the opposite question. How do we ensure that we can implement this, because we all stand to make a ton of money from doing it, was their thought on it. A gentleman by the name of Larry Kellam, K-E-L-L-A-M, who's the director of business-to-business supply chain innovation for Procter & Gamble, gave a talk, and he said something towards the end of this talk that I have to say, as a freedom-loving person who follows these things, really sent chills down my spine. When he was asked, well, what's it going to take to get all this nifty whiz-bang technology out there into the world and into people's homes? His answer was, well, if we get a declaration from Homeland Security, and this is a quote, by the way, if we get a declaration from Homeland Security that this is the step we need to take to protect the food supply, that's the step that will move this technology forward.
Well, that's what I saw Reg say over a year ago on C-SPAN. I've got on one of these myriad tapes, and he said that we're going to put troops and FBI in the infrastructure, and I've got it from Arkansas. They've got FBI at their RFID center.
Well, and that's the piece I would be extremely interested in, and information about Walmart, because right now Walmart obviously is on our radar screen. They've called for 100 of their top suppliers to put these devices on the supply side. Now, this is an important distinction, and as people hear about this more, they need to be very careful which of these two types of tagging the companies are talking about. Supply side tagging means putting it on pallets, putting it on something called a tray, which is a big thing that contains lots of product to move it through the warehouses. Putting
it on trucks. Yeah, they're trying to claim that's what they're doing, but the call is for to put it in all the products.
Correct. Here's the buzzword you want to be looking for. You want to be looking for item-level tagging. Item-level tagging means putting it actually on products that consumers will be taking home with them. That would be things like clothing or the packaging for various things. Right now, Gillette is involved in a trial with that. I would say anyone listening to this program who's buying Gillette, you need to immediately boycott the company, write them a letter, tell them why, and switch to Schick, which,
we'll
as far as I know, is
why you got to boycott now when we get back. Because if you don't start it now, they're going to put it in system-wide, and then it's nothing you can do.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Nuclear reactors.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Catherine Albrecht is our guest, and she is the founder and head of Caspian, Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering, and the Total Information Awareness Network, run by convicted felon Admiral Poindexter, says everything you buy, everything you sell, everything you do, everything you read, everything you say, even how you breathe will be monitored 24 hours a day. Now, those are public announcements. And then now she's there at the big RFID convention where they're peddling all of this, and the big boys are trying to create this infrastructure control. And they're saying, oh, we need to get Homeland Security to say this is necessary for the food system, see? And then that gets Homeland Security into control of that. And they said that you're going to have four levels of security passes to have jobs anywhere, so an ID card to have a job. I've got Ridge on tape saying that, and I know we've got callers who want to talk to Catherine. The toll-free number to join us on air is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and later I do have some other news coming up. Catherine, we were talking about ways to counter this, but first, talking about boycotting it now, anyone who does it now, so they'll back off, because if they're able to put it in everywhere, then you can't boycott everyone. Before we get into that, how to boycott, what are some of the other things, the chilling statements you heard, if any, at the shindig, the intelligence agency shindig, up in Chicago?
Well, you know, it was funny the amount of religious terminology being tossed around at this event. One UK chain, which is Marks & Spencer, which claims to be one of the largest clothing retailers in the United Kingdom or in Great Britain, they're putting these tags into clothing that they're selling off the shelf. And when we're talking about this item-level tagging, putting them in things, they call that the Holy Grail, item-level tagging, putting these chips in individual items people walk out with as the Holy Grail. There was one gentleman who stood up, and he said, I'm with Babylon Information Systems or Babylon Data Systems, and I about swallowed my my gum there. A lot of terminology like that floating around. There was another comment, this is also Marks & Spencer, that they're looking at traceability legislation that they expect to go through in Europe, which would mandate traceability of consumer products, particularly food items. They're looking for that. And I have to say probably and I don't want you to take this out of context, but there was a comment by a gentleman working for Philip Morris, and he was on a panel, and he was talking about how the supply chain practices are going to have to change to adopt this technology. And his quote, by the way, his name is William Sweeney. He's the principal research engineer of Philip Morris USA. And his comment about the supply chain, now mind you, but I thought it was prophetic. He said, this is a destructive technology. Its purpose is to destroy our way of life. And the whole room kind of went silent, and then everyone nervously laughed. And he paused for a dramatic effect after saying that.
So they're against it because they know it'll affect their growing
field. Oh, no, he's totally in favor of it. He was up there. In fact, that whole entire presentation was about how fabulous this is going to be, which is why...
Well, then why did he say it was destructive?
Well, his comment at that point was to say, guys, you need to totally revamp your supply chain systems. Tear down everything the way you're doing it. You got to do it this whole new way. And that's
what he said. Well, look, Ridge said you're going to have federal inspectors at all farms, all businesses of any size, very intrusive, a new level of taxation and regulation, and this will destroy any underground economy. Patriot Act 1 has bizarre stipulations about buying and selling and trading without authorization. People said, what does this mean? Well, it's obvious where they're going with this.
Well, and I think we're seeing that in the food supply being potentially attacked from many sides. I just read an article about farmers markets, that they're cracking down on farmers markets now and making people jump through all sorts of health requirements and hoops. And
yeah, it's about getting control of us. It's about controlling the infrastructure, getting us dependent.
Well, and I think food is a key place where anyone who is concerned about privacy, liberty, and freedom needs to really stand up and say, hey, when it comes to my food, you don't mess with that.
Well, the UN said that they would use food as a weapon and that they would make no apologies.
Yeah, well, I actually have a follow-up on that I would be glad to send to anybody who's interested in this. Let me give out our email address, so if your listeners would like to get more information about what we're doing. We have a free newsletter people are welcome to sign up for. We're online at www.nocards.org. We got started fighting supermarket cards in 1999. If you click on the feedback form there, you can fill out your email address. We'll go ahead and get you on our mailing list and keep you posted on what we're doing. And anybody who requests it, I'd be happy to send you a 50-page article I've written on retail surveillance, which will give you 200 footnotes, and you can prove all of the things we've been talking about.
Well, also, Catherine, they've already announced that they want to make people tag all of their produce and livestock and have this new federal regulatory system locally in your area, your goats, your sheep, your cows, your horses, your pigs, any livestock or any domesticated animals. L.A. has made it the law where you got to put a chip in your dog or cat, period. You know, it started out if you got them from the pound, but now it's all animals. A bunch of other cities are doing it. Total control, total surveillance, and this centralizes control as well.
Well, you know, Alex, it's funny because I know your listeners probably share our mindset. But if you're ever talking to somebody who says, you know, this is all going to make us safer, the response I give to that, and by the way, I'm a doctoral researcher at Harvard University. I'm working on my dissertation on consumer psychology, and I've done a lot of reading of history and why is it that people tolerate this kind of thing in their lives. And whenever somebody says, you know, well, I guess we have to give up a little bit to be safer, if everybody surveilled and there was a camera in every bedroom, I guess we'd all just be safe and maybe we need to move in that direction. And what I say, well, if you want to know what that will be like, we've got some great examples in history where you can look at that. Talk about Stalin's Soviet Union, for example. I mean, that was arguably the most surveilled society on the planet. Every piece of mail was opened, every phone call potentially listened in on, every neighbor spying on every other neighbor. You couldn't even have somebody over to dinner without knowing if they were reporting back to the KGB. Were they safe? Absolutely not. In fact, now historians are saying that Stalin may have killed upwards of 60 million of his own people, people that he surveilled and found that, hey, you know, guess what? They didn't like the prevailing system because the prevailing system was killing people. So what, if we go forward with this RFID technology and have the potential of scanning everything people are carrying, every physical object they interact with at all times, and that is the ultimate goal of this technology, you know, we run the risk of being surveilled like Stalin's Russia.
Well, a lot,
you know,
worse.
Times a thousand, absolutely. From
yeah,
dawn
this is
until
much
dawn.
More sophisticated. But look, this is about control, and they're using terror as their excuse, but then take what they're doing with the borders being more open than they were before 9-1-1. And 800-plus cities accepting any fake ID from anybody from Poland or Mexico, it doesn't matter, the matricula cards. And on top of that, I mean, it's a joke. This is an excuse to centralize power and control and to blow out any type of grassroots business or infrastructure. This is about total centralization, a compact city.
Well, if that was your goal, and I'm not quite sure whose goal that would be, but let's say that was your goal, RFID technology would be an ideal tool to fall into those hands. And I've said many times publicly, I believe if Hitler had had this technology, there's not a Jew who would have escaped from his, any of the countries under his control, because this technology enables you to track people, to know who's interacting with who, who's carrying what, who's doing what. And any form of resistance against a tyrannical government could easily be detected and squashed.
Well, IBM was actually used by Hitler with some of their primitive computers to do this, and
IBM's involvement with RFID technology. They made an announcement right after Walmart that they're throwing their weight behind RFID, and one of their applications is to put an RFID identification chip into people's checkbooks and ATM cards, so that all you'd have to do would be walk through the doorway of your bank, and your bank would instantly identify you and your bank balance and would treat you accordingly.
Well, for 3 years, IBM's been running the ad or IBM Blue, where the guy walks in the store, sticks a chicken in his shirt, a bag of potato chips, beer, and he's walking out, and the security guard runs over and says, "Excuse me, sir, you forgot your receipt." So everybody saw that ad, and that's what they're doing, bottom line.
Absolutely, and that's the model for how Walmart wants this, or, well, many of these retailers ultimately would like to see this work, to where there wouldn't be any cashiers. I mean, imagine the jobs that would be eliminated because of this, and the people who would be out of work. That's a separate issue. Where essentially the machines would be in charge of everything. These little tags would interact with the machines, and, you know, the vision of Kevin Ashton, who is the founder of the Auto ID Center, I've heard him speak many times, and every time I hear him speak, a chill goes down my spine, because he envisions the world where the machines are in charge, where really we don't need people to do very much anymore. The machines have everything
and this
locked
in a
and
world,
under control.
This in a world where they told us we were going to be a service economy, don't worry about your industry. And this in a world where there's less and less service. I mean, look, McDonald's learned how to put a trash can up and say thank you. And then there's peer pressure to throw your food away. Well, all that does is get rid of a job. And they say, oh, well, it's competitive. No, if we demand more service, they will simply build more service into the economy. There'll be more jobs, more circulation of money, and we'll actually have a better economy. But this is about control. They said it's their vision, these compact control grid, cashless society cities. I mean, look, they're already thumb scanning people in Texas grocery stores, and they admit it's hooked into the DPS database off your thumbprint. I have HEB employees on tape admitting it. So there it is right there, Catherine.
Well, let's talk about how to fight back, because I hate to leave people with this dark vision. Right now, we as consumer citizens are in the catbird state when it comes to this RFID technology. Let me give you an optimistic or a story with a good ending. Back in March, Benetton, the Italian clothing manufacturer, made an announcement that they were going to be putting 350 million of these chips into their clothing items and selling them to people, letting people emote. It was primarily underwear. So people would be walking around with chipped underwear. Now, even though they said this could be turned off at the point of sale, that they just disable the chip at the check register, we did a little research and we found out that the chip they were going to be using could not be turned off. It could only be put into hibernation mode, and anybody with the access to the right code could turn it right on again. So we thought that wasn't very good assurance. Well, let me tell you that consumers around the world went ballistic. We put up a website, boycottbenetton.com. It's still up there, actually boycottbenetton.org. You can still find it on the net. We called for a worldwide boycott, and I was doing interviews as far away as Tasmania. I was on Sweden National Public Radio. I mean, you would not believe the amount of international attention and outcry that generated. Well, I'm telling you, we had Benetton running for cover with their tail between their legs, saying that they are not going to do it. They take it back. Please don't boycott us. Now, right now, you've got 90 global corporations, and now probably a whole bunch more now with Walmart's announcement, waiting to see what's going to happen with the trials that are happening right now. Let me tell you what those are and what we need to do about them. Gillette is probably the number one. Gillette put in an order for a half a billion of these chips in November, and they're testing them on real people in real time in real Walmart stores right now, where they have surveillance cameras trained on the shelf. When you pick it up off the shelf, it sends a little alert back to the surveillance camera that knows something's been picked up off the shelf. And
well, that's a reason right there not to do it. I mean, think about this.
Oh, they're watching people in the stores interacting with these Gillette
razors. There was a Washington Post article about the pressure plates in the floor, hidden cameras that know how to read your eye, what area you're reading on the shelf.
You got it. Well, all this stuff is going to converge. Now, let me tell you, Gillette is openly acknowledging that they're messing around with this technology with real consumers, and I believe that I know for a fact that the whole rest of the industry, all these other companies like Kraft and, you know, all the makeup companies and shoe companies and clothing companies, all these other companies are holding their breath to see if Gillette's going to get its wrist slapped like Benetton did. Now, if we consumers sit back and let Gillette get away with this, within 6 months you're going to have a dozen more companies, then two dozen, and then before we turn around twice, every item in the store is going to have these tags in them. Right now, our target is very focused. It's Gillette. It's Michelin who put these things in their tires, believe it or not. Now you can track a car going 90 miles an hour from 5 feet away if it's got this Michelin tag in it. And the other one is Max Factor Lipfinity Lipstick. All right, so this is a very small handful of companies that would be very easy to boycott. And what we would like to do at Caspian, you can find us at nocards.org. We also have a preview website up at stoprfid.org. You can see some images of what these tags look like and some other information, but that website doesn't go public until next week, so you're listening.
Folks, we're fighting for the life of this country against the cashless society control grid, and we are talking to the director of Caspian, and we've had her on before. Catherine, why don't you tell people about your bio one more time for those that missed it?
Yeah, I am the founder and director of Caspian. We have been fighting grocery store cards and retail surveillance since 1999. You can find us on the internet at nocards.org, and at that website, if you click the feedback bar, you can get on our mailing list, which is free. We'll give you all the information and sign you up. We're looking for volunteers. I am a doctoral candidate at Harvard University, where I am writing my dissertation on consumer psychology issues. I have an undergraduate degree in international marketing, so I know how these guys think. I know where they're coming from. Back when I got my degree, it was not quite the surveillance environment it is today, though, and I guess I'm a recovering marketer.
All right, so we've got to stop them now, just like with the biometrics when HEB and Kroger's puts in the thumb scanners or even tears out the service lanes and puts in self-service. Then the biometrics goes into that. Then they phase out all the service lanes. This is the control grid. You got to boycott them. You got to stay out of Walmart, and you got to tell them you're doing this because of the RFIDs, and you've got to never buy another Gillette product. I used them. I haven't been buying Gillette. You've got to boycott Michelin. You've got to boycott Max Factor. Let's take a call. Let's talk to, I guess, who's up next here, Mark? Carmine, or who's up next? I'm not sure. Carmen in Pennsylvania, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just want to give you three quick things. All those devices are transponders. The ones that have batteries in them just have greater range. There's three frequency ranges that they have right now up to like 4 gigahertz. Also, The NTIS, the National Technology Information System, has a grid work across all highways and service roads in the United States. And every car in America has the chip in it. New cars.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, when you drive around, they've got the antenna arrays now all over the highways. It's admitted.
Well, you look on the ground, you'll see two circles cut in the ground, one right after another. One excites the chip. The chip charges up its capacitor, and as you get to the next strip in the road, it picks up the signal.
And what is the name of this? What web search would we do to find out about this?
I found this through the OSHA documents, NTIS. I thought it was National Transportation Information System. It turns out it's the National Technology Information System.
Thank you very much.
And they're going to be monitoring everything, and they will tax us on every inch of the road if they can.
By the way, when I was on I-35 driving up to Kansas City, and we asked questions about it, and they confirmed it, they were cutting these into the roads, by the way.
Yeah, well, caller, if you could do me a favor, and my email address for anyone who'd like to write me is kma@nocards.org. That's kma@nocards.org. And by the way, anyone else who wrote down that email address, if you ask me for it, I'll send you a 50-page research report that I wrote for the Denver Law Review.
Well, that's nice of you.
That has documentation on all of this.
Anything else you'd like to add? Is this not chilling, Carmen, to see this happening?
Yes, and you'll see the little silver boxes on the side of the road. It's only on one side of the road. It could be on either side. They usually have the network of wires running across both lanes of traffic. And I've seen them where they've had as many as 8 lanes of traffic, 4 lanes on each side, all hooked up.
Unbelievable. Could you please do me a favor and send me some documentation on that, because I will get the word out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, thank you for the call. We're going to break with our final segment with our guests. We'll come back and talk to Jason in Texas and a few others. Folks, they've said they're going to take over farming, industry, businesses. The Army is going to be on the streets carrying all of this out. Ridge officially on C-SPAN. The problem is I can't know it all. Catherine can't be aware of it all. The onslaught, the attack, the prison they're building is so huge. You've got to warn people now. They build the infrastructure, then they announce it to you. Right here in Austin, thumb scanners going in the grocery store, and soon no cash allowed.
Thanks for listening to the...
Catherine Albrecht, and she's the founder of Caspian, a total grid of control. They're now using the transponders publicly in San Francisco to track, trace, and tax you even off the toll roads. This is the system. They've announced satellite tracking to begin very soon to start taxing you. They're building the infrastructure all around you, and the average American has no idea, but they know all about the football scores, don't they? Catherine, let's take a final call, and... Jason in Texas, thanks for holding. You're on the air, sir. Okay, he's not there. Jason, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
How are things?
Well, they're pretty good. Go ahead.
Excellent. Listen, I just wanted to let you know kind of a catch-22 situation. I have a small software business here in Austin. And recently... with a lot of the federal appropriations because of this Homeland Security stuff, state agencies, not unlike the Department of Corrections, have been receiving federal dollars to digitalize just about everything. It's not really congruent with, you know, the stuff you've been talking about in the last hour. But say, for example, you know, an RFP goes out, a number of different resellers, a number of different businesses send in proposals, and then the state, of course, you know, selects a business. But the, like what they're trying to do is really unprecedented, and they're doing it by way of retention numbers. You know, like if you've ever been involved with a legal case, you know about Bates numbering. But basically what happens is with these retention numbers, or in this case we'll call a Bates number, any name or any concept or any business that's on any document is basically affiliated with a number. And it's all tracked. Now, the catch-22 of the situation is that, you know, I'm pretty much responsible for developing this type of technology. And the thing is the only money that's coming in is, you know, is money from the Fed.
This is the growth industry. They are. They construct the economy and then offer money in growth industries for the surveillance grid. Catherine, any comments to that?
Oh, boy. All I can say is it seems like it's coming from every angle.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Jason, I gotta let you go. You can call me back tonight or tomorrow or on Monday, and we can talk more about it. Thanks for the call. Catherine, I got to get you back on. I've been ranting and raving. This is horrible. I want to commend you for fighting this. All Americans better get involved and educate themselves. This is for the cashless society, tracking taxation grid. It totally violates the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. And I appreciate you coming on, NoCards.org.
We are in a perfect position to stop it. I can't emphasize that enough. I feel like this is a leverage point in history right now because these companies really don't want to lose all of our business and they don't want a public relations problem. If we get on board and put up a couple of billboards saying, you know, is there a sensor in your Gillette sensor razor? Is there a tracker in your Gillette Track 2 razor? The media would pick it up. And I'm telling you, I know because I've talked to members of the media. This is a mainstream media.
We can stop them. I gotta let you go. Thank you for joining us. We'll have you back on, okay?
Thank you, Alex.
Appreciate it.